Well, as I've intimated, we're going to get into the next part of the Lord's Prayer this morning. We started 2 weeks ago, and we looked at that opening section of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we discovered that the Lord's Prayer was more than just a common prayer that we pray in and out each and every week. There's a level of commitment associated with it, and a level of community with it as well. And last week, we looked at give us our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And those lines, especially that forgiveness part, well, it's hard. We're asking to be forgiven as we forgive. And we all know that there are people in our lives who we have yet to forgive. And so that's challenging for us. But we do recognize also that we are dependent on God, that dailiness, that daily bread. And so today, we look at, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Or if we want to say it as in the children's format, deliver us from the cookie jar. Well, this petition within the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, it's been translated a bunch of different ways over the years. One of the common modern translation for this part of the Lord's Prayer is, and do not bring us to the time of trial. And another version reads, keep us safe from ourselves. We're often bombarded with temptation. That is, if we choose to recognize it as such. There is the temptation to cheat on our taxes, temptations to lure us away from our spouses, the temptations of power and money. We face temptation each and every day. How do we best deal with it? There can be some creative ways to face temptation. Consider this story of one minister. There were two brothers in the town where this minister was working at a congregation, and these brothers had terrorized the town for decades. They were unfaithful to their wives, abusive to their children, dishonest in business, you name it. Well, unexpectedly, the younger brother died. And the surviving brother approached the minister of the local church where the funeral was going to be held. And he says, you know, you're going to be reverend. You're going to be conducting my brother's funeral. And it's very important to me that during the funeral service, you tell everyone that my brother was a saint. Well, the minister looked at the man and he said, that's not true. He was far from that. And so the surviving brother, who by dishonest means had acquired a great deal of wealth, pulled out his checkbook. And he says, Reverend, I'm prepared to write a $100,000 check to the church. All I'm asking you to do is during the funeral, tell everyone that my brother was a saint. Well, what's the minister to do? Would he massage the truth in order to get the money? And all the good that the money could do for ministry? Or does the minister hold to his principles and give up this chance of putting the congregation on solid financial footing? Well, the day of the funeral comes, and the minister began his message this way. Everyone here knows that the deceased was a wicked man, a womanizer, and a drunk. He terrorized his employees. He cheated on his taxes. And then he paused. But as evil and as sinful as this man was, compared to his older brother, he was a saint. Now, I don't imagine that they got the check. There are a great many things which lead us into temptation. Money, power, and a whole list of addictions. Yet the Lord's Prayer has us saying, "And lead us not into temptation." But do we really mean it? Sometimes I'm not so sure. I've seen a t-shirt, and perhaps you've seen it as well. It reads, "Lead me not into temptation, I can find it myself." This is the society that we are a part of. Society says, if it feels good, do it. As long as it isn't hurting anyone else, what harm can there be? C.S. Lewis wrote, "No man knows how bad he is until he has tried to be good." There is a silly idea about that good people don't know what temptation means. And none of us, no matter how good we are immune to temptation. One commentator has said, "How many of us show by our actions that we do not seriously mean this prayer? We know very well what occasions and what places and what company are the sources of temptation for us, and yet we do not avoid them." The problem is, rather than seriously and intentionally asking that we be steered from temptation, we actually welcome it into our lives. We get ourselves in trouble, and then we pray to be delivered from the mess that we have created. We're more worried about the consequences of our disobedience than the temptation itself. When we ask God to save us from the time of trial, to lead us not into temptation, we are making a request that is based on an existing and a growing relationship. As we become more like Christ, we are less tempted to sin. And the reading from James this morning highlights this. James tells us that those who endure temptation are blessed and will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. There are rewards for steering clear of temptation. In heavenly language, this is the crown of life. In more simple terms, we might say it's integrity. When we pray, "And lead us not into temptation," God invites us to back up those words with a willingness to go deeper in our relationship with God, so that we will be kept from trials, or at least carried through them, rather than stuck in their midst. There's another way that we can think about this request within the Lord's Prayer. We pray these words, "And lead us not into temptation." Yet in our reading this morning from James, we also find the following. "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does God tempt anyone." And so when we say, "And lead us not into temptation," it appears that we are asking God not to lead us astray, not to tempt us. But James is telling us that God won't do that in the first place. So is James wrong? Why the apparent contradiction? What we ask in the Lord's Prayer is that we not be permitted to succumb to that great final trial, that even in the worst circumstances, we remain true to God, holding fast to Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord's Prayer has us asking God to deliver us, not necessarily from times of trial, but through times of trial. Even after we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are still inclined towards sin. Each of us is susceptible to temptation, and many of us give into it every day. But as we grow in Christ, our prayer is that we will hold fast to Christ through thick and thin. When we ask God to save us from the time of trial, we are making a request based on that existing, growing relationship. The prayer says, "And lead us not into temptation." The question, I suppose, is who leads and who follows? God will not lead us into temptation That's the job of the other guy. And I don't know about you, but I have no desire to be led by him. When you think of this aspect of the Lord's Prayer, bear in mind this final thought. The greatest resistance to temptation came at the same moment as the greatest act of God's love. Imagine the situation that we would be in if Jesus had given in to temptation and fled the cross. So let's move to the next part of the Lord's Prayer. But deliver us from evil. Now this line of the prayer ties directly to the preceding. So our story today from Matthew illustrates how Jesus was tempted and delivered from evil. And of course, if we read the story carefully, it also tells us that the Holy Spirit's the one who sent him to be tested. So it's interesting. But how does Jesus' example of his endurance of temptation help us in our desire to be delivered from evil? We take a look at the passage, we discover immediately that Jesus, as I mentioned, was being led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Another way of reading this is that Jesus was entering the desert to be tested. And we all know that when we are tested by God, it can lead to growth, deeper spiritual maturity, and a deeper relationship with God. And most of the time, if we admit it, we end up in the position of being tempted through our own doing. And one way of being delivered from evil is to simply get out of the desert. If some action or place leads you to evil, just walk away from it. Evil is all around us, and sometimes it is hard to walk away. So when we get to avoid evil, when we can't avoid evil, what can we do? Well, we can pray. And when we pray the words, "and deliver us from evil," we are asking God to send the devil, to drive the devil out and all those temptations away from us. And this is where this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, has real power. Through it, we are ordering Satan out of our lives. In 1 John 3:8, we learn that the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And we can help that happen if we follow God faithfully. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, he responded by stating, "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." That was at the devil's request to, "I will give you all this if you bow down and worship me." Incidentally, I was in a Christian bookstore once upon a time and I saw a coffee mug. I think I've shared this story before. And the coffee mug said, "All will be yours if you worship me." Matthew chapter and verse. So the coffee mug quoted the devil. Yeah, I'm not kidding. Coffee mug quoted the devil, because the lines that come after say, Jesus says, "Worship only the Lord your God." So be careful when you buy little trinkets that quote scripture. Do your homework, right? That is not a coffee mug that you should ever buy me. So don't underestimate the value of worship. That's the response Jesus gives to the devil. When the devil says, "All this will be yours if you bow down and worship me," Jesus says, "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." So don't underestimate the value of what you are doing right now. The time that we spend before God with one another is a pivotal way of being delivered from evil. And the time that we spend reading scripture and the time that we spend in prayer also helps to keep the devil back and evil from us. Worship is not just about recharging our batteries or seeing our friends. As important as those things are, it goes deeper, much, much deeper. God uses our time in his holy presence to gird us up so that we are kept from evil. If we think of the biblical image of God as light and evil as darkness, remember this: light dispels darkness, but darkness cannot dispel light. God will always win if we worship Him and no other. Thanks be to God. Amen.